Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Y'all are awake. Hallelujah. All right. If everybody will come on in and get a seat, we'll get started. Y'all are the most fellowshipping bunch I've ever been around. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Summer vacation has hit the church. It always happens. We've got about six families out, and we've had some other families have to deal with some other tough things this week in the way of hospitals and surgeries and funerals and that kind of thing. But, you know, all that really, really, really matters is that the Holy Spirit of God shows up. Because if He's here and He anoints the service, it doesn't matter how many folks are here, God will bless each and every one. And you'll leave here differently than the way you came in. Let me read one card to you. It says, Pastor Cal and all, thank you so much for having me. I love leading worship at Second Mile Church. And by the way, you're the friendliest church around. Blessings, Pam Weston. Let's pray together. Father, we are so blessed and so grateful to be here today. Lord, I've been looking forward to this since last Sunday night when we left here. Getting back together with the people of God, with the saints of God to worship the Son of God. And may the Spirit of God fall fresh on us here this morning. Oh Lord, we desire to hear from heaven today. And whether we understand this or not, Lord, we desperately need to hear from heaven today. We are in need. We're needy people. And so, Lord, when you speak to us today, give us the courage to just say yes to Jesus. It's in your name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Marty Keith is back with us. Lydia, believe it or not, will be back next Sunday. And we're grateful, though, to have Marty back with us to help us with our worship time. God bless you, brother. One of the things that we need to continue to move towards is becoming a praying church. I would remind you that we do have praise and prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 6:30. Had a fantastic prayer meeting this Wednesday. And everybody that was here left with their spiritual batteries recharged. You make plans to be a part of that. But I think Sunday mornings we ought to incorporate prayer in our services. And there's folks here that are in need of prayer. Phil Butler had to say goodbye to his mama this week. And that's not an easy thing to do. And you think you get prepared for things like that, but man, that's a tough thing. And so we want to pray for the Butlers. And we want to pray for the Fries today. Their daughter, Lindsay, is battling cancer with everything that she's got. So we want to pray for the Fries. And Brother Shep was down on the river yesterday with his boat ministry, gave the gospel to 83 people yesterday. And so we want to pray over Brother Shep this morning. Are there other family members or anybody else here needing prayer before we do this? If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage tucked away over in Luke chapter 19. And while you're finding Luke chapter 19, let me ask you this question. Have you ever asked yourself what really matters most in life? You ever thought about that? I mean, really, what matters more than anything else in this life? I meet a lot of Christians and a lot of other folks who are not, and I think most people are not experiencing everything that we were created to experience. In other words, some of you are here this morning, And you're wondering, isn't there more to this thing called life than I'm getting? I'll guarantee you there's some people here that have that kind of feeling. Why am I not experiencing more? Why am I living below what it is that I was created to experience in life? Well, in order to answer that question, we need to go to the Bible. Instead of opinions, we need to have an understanding of what God tells us. Because our opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. And the opinion that matters most is the opinion from heaven. And you'll find that right here. And so I want us to look at the Lord Jesus and what He came to do and what He was all about and what it was that was on His heart, what the priority of His life was. Because if we can figure that out, then we can understand what life is really all about and what we ought to be doing. Amen? All right? Let's look at Luke chapter 19 and in verse 10. We're going to preach this passage if the Lord wills that today. But look at this one verse in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Let me read it one more time. This is the reason Jesus left heaven and came to earth. This is the reason that Jesus walked the face of the earth for 33 and a half years. This is the reason Jesus came. This is what He came to do. It said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, help us to give our lives to that which matters most this morning. Help us to hear from You. Lord, Your people need to hear from You this morning. And I know that I know that I know in my heart of hearts, God, that many of us, not just here, but all over Clarksville and all over the world, are asking that question, isn't there more to this life than I'm experiencing? And according to what we've just read, the answer to that is yes. We can do and become what we were created to do and become. Thank You, Lord. Answer this question for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus was a good Jew. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes we forget that he was Jewish. A Jewish carpenter. And like every good Jew, at Passover time, where did the Jews go? Jerusalem. To observe the Passover. That's what every good Jew would do. And so that's what Jesus is doing. Now, along the way, he's at rock star status now. And people are following Him partially because of the great miracles that He's doing. And Jesus had been telling His disciples what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And they really didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear it. Because they had in their mind, this is a Jewish Messiah, and He is going to usher in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that we've been waiting on. He's going to put Israel back on top. But Jesus wasn't that kind of Messiah. And then there's others in this huge crowd that are coming through Jericho with Him that they're really following the Lord because of these tremendous miracles. I mean, if there was somebody in Clarksville this weekend who was raising folks from the dead and making blinded eyes to see and healing lepers and people of cancer and all kinds of things. Do you think that fella or that woman would have a crowd? Absolutely. And we'd be more alive than we are right now. We'd be following whoever that was. And so there's this huge crowd. Jesus had just finished healing a blind man. He cried out to Jesus as he came into Jericho. And Jesus stopped and healed the man. And he could now see. And so this crowd is at fever pitch. and they are praising and glorifying God. And Jesus stops what he's doing to go after one person. And we see in this wonderful, beautiful passage of Scripture, we see what it is that matters most in life. And where the heart of Jesus was, what his priority was. And if this is his priority, it ought to be our priority. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's right." Now look at your other neighbor that you didn't speak to and say, "That's right." All right. Here's the first truth in this passage, that Jesus came to seek sinners. Say that with me. Jesus came to seek sinners. Where did you get that? Look at chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, let me just park right there. We were in Israel just a few weeks ago. Y'all are probably tired of hearing about all that. But Jericho is 17 miles. Jericho's way down here. And Jerusalem's way up here. How many of y'all have ever heard of the Jericho Mile? Well, that's a tough mile because it's like this, and it's all the way uphill. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he's coming through Jericho right now, and this huge crowd is with him, and he's just healed a blind man. This guy can see now, and everybody's shouting, "Praise the Lord, our Messiah's here with us. Oh, what are you going to do next, Jesus?" And then this huge crowd gets up to a tree in the middle of town. Verse 2. "Now behold." Now remember, what does behold mean? Look at here. "There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature." Yeah, how many of y'all remember that? I'm showing my age, but how many of y'all remember that song back in the late 70s called "Short People"? Y'all remember that? And a little short guy wrote the song too. I hope nobody in here has little man disease. All right. Are y'all okay? Everybody all right this morning? I wonder. "So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him," to see Jesus, "for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" How many of you grew up singing that little song? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a..." Oh, y'all remember that? And then what did Jesus tell him to do? "Zacchaeus, for I'm going to you." Yes. So in the middle of this mass rock star concert that's mobile, moving through Jericho, Jesus stops. Now, to see this young fellow named Zacchaeus. Now, the Bible calls him a chief tax collector. And by the way, here's what I found, Dick. The name Zacchaeus means the righteous one. And old Zacchaeus wasn't living up to his name. Zacchaeus was a tax collector for Rome. Now, he's Jewish, but the Jewish folks hated the tax collectors because they hated Rome. And so here's this Jewish brother taking up taxes from the Jewish people and giving them to the Romans. Now, how many of y'all love to pay taxes? That's what I thought. How many of y'all would love to see the IRS man at your house? Well, they did not like Zacchaeus. And furthermore, Zacchaeus was lying in his pockets. In other words, if you owed Rome $500, Zacchaeus wrote out a bill for $1,000. And he put $500 in his pocket and sent $500 to Rome. And everybody knew it. He's wealthy. He's stinking rich. And he'd gotten rich off of his Jewish brothers and sisters. And the religious crowd hated him and said, "You don't even need to spend..." Oh, Marty. I knew I was going to do that sooner or later. Shan, you got the checkbook? This stage is really not conducive to my style of preaching, you know. But I'm sorry, brother. Is it okay? Everything's okay? Thank you, Jesus. I was hollering for Shan to get the checkbook out. I don't know how much these guitars cost, but anyways. And so Jesus is moving through town, and there's this hated tax collector named Zacchaeus. And he's ripping people off left and right. He's a thief is what he is. And people hate him. And the religious crowd said, we don't have anything to do with him. He is a chief sinner. We don't hang out with him. We don't have lunch with him. We don't go to the bank. We don't do anything with these people. Okay? Y'all got that? And yet Jesus stops to say, hey, Zacchaeus. Now, let me just say something about Zacchaeus. I think I'm reading between the lines here. And it's okay to do that, y'all. Because you can get your answer sooner or later. But Jesus had a disciple that was a tax collector. What was his name? Matthew. And Matthew used to invite tax collectors to his house. And then invite Jesus to come to the house. Kind of sneaky. But that's and so I would venture to say maybe Zacchaeus had heard from Matthew about this Jesus. And so Zacchaeus just curious enough to be a part of this big crowd, and he's motivated enough to climb up into a sycamore tree, a tall tree, so that he can see Jesus and hear what this guy's all about. Wow. He's seeking Jesus. Now, I'm going to park right here and say this to you. I don't know. God came looking for me when I wasn't even looking for Him. You cannot be saved anytime you want to be saved. The Holy Spirit has to first draw you and woo you and convict you and challenge you. You see, Jesus is the seeker with a capital S. Bible says in Romans 3:11, there's none that seeketh after God. But I've come here to tell you, God is seeking folks because it's not His will, 2 Peter 3:9, that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. God wants everyone to be in relationship with Him. Now we know that's probably not going to happen, but I want to tell you, it is God who's doing the seeking. And so Zacchaeus, you think you're looking for me, but I came looking for you. I'm going to your house today. Get on down. He says, make haste. In other words, hurry up, little man. I'm going to your place. And guess what Zacchaeus does? He hurries up, gets down out of the tree, and they go to his house. And I'll guarantee you, Jesus, we love Him, y'all, because He first loved us. The Scriptures are all over the place about this thing. He is the seeker. And you know what? I'm going to make y'all a promise. There's somebody. It might be one person. It may be as many as 10. It may be as many as 25. And Jesus is seeking folks right here. His Spirit is tugging on your heartstrings. Here's one sits right back here, Sherry Poole. Sunday night, 2 weeks ago, she was here. I was preaching out of the book of Revelation, and then I shared the gospel. And bless God, she threw up her hand and got a good dose of Jesus. We baptized her. Do y'all think she came here looking for that to happen? Probably not. But the Lord knew she was here because He was drawing her. And He's right here this morning, and He's drawing somebody here right now. Promise you that. Jesus came to seek and save sinners. I met a guy, he works for a huge road construction company, crew up in Nashville. And they're building roads everywhere, refinishing roads, da-da-da-da-da. But every now and then, this cat will stop out here in our parking lot through the week, and he'll pray for Second Mile Church. And he'll text me and say, down here at the parking lot, praying for Second Mile. He told me back a little while back that he's got hundreds of people that work for him. He's not the owner, but he kind of runs the construction crew out of Nashville, this road construction crew. And he said, Cal, I've got this guy on my heart. He's one of my truck drivers, and he's having a rough time. And so I'm going to share the gospel with him. You pray for me, would you? Well, He called me back the next morning. I mean, I thought he was going to jump through the phone. He was so excited. He said, "You'll never guess what happened. I started sharing Jesus with this guy, and boom, 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 he started asking me all kinds of questions. And the guy wound up praying to receive Christ, and now the truck driver's whole family's born again and saved and in church." Folks, God is seeking people all over this county. And if we'd get out of the church, amen, Shep, if we'd get out of the church where they are and just open our mouth, you've got to be, it's not enough just to live a good life. Yeah, you need to do that, but you got to be verbal. You got to share with them and open your mouth and start sharing. You'd be surprised what God's already doing. Jesus came to seek sinners. And he may be seeking somebody here today. But second thing, Jesus didn't come just to seek them. He came to save them. I said save them. Whew, man, this gets better. Look at verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner." How's lost folks ever going to get saved if they don't ever get around saved folks? Well, they act like lost people. Well, what do you think lost people are supposed to act like? What bothers me is when saved people act like lost people. Hello? But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fullfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today." When's the best time to be saved? Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. Not next time you come to church. Today is the day of salvation. He says, "Has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham." Let's talk about this. Now, the righteous one, Zacchaeus, needs a good dose of righteousness. And it's not his righteousness that he needs. But isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? We compare ourselves to somebody else. Well, if she's going to heaven, I'm going too, because I'm just as good as... Can I let y'all in on a little secret? Zacchaeus was not only short of stature, he was short of the glory of God. And so are all of us. We're all short. Aren't you thankful God loves short people? I said, aren't you thankful God loves short people? And so, what's Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. Brother, sister, only difference between us and them out here is we've been saved. Didn't deserve it, couldn't earn it, couldn't merit it. I wake up surprised every morning that God would save somebody like me. He's in the saving business. Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Don't you like when you read the word "but" in the Bible? Yeah. Usually when you read "but," something good follows. Yeah. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you might get to be saved. You maybe will be saved. Oh, I hope so. You can know so. You will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like what John says. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. Whew. Have mercy. He came to save people. He came to save us. And look, don't miss this. Look at verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him how? Whoo! When does a gift become yours? Can y'all see this? That's why it pays to sit up front. Oh, my goodness. Can y'all see this? It's a $20 bill. When does this $20 bill become hers? When she what? Avery Kate took it, didn't she? Is it mine anymore? No, it's hers. Why? Because she received it. She took it. Now give Granddaddy that $20 back. She gave it back to me. That's surprising. Anyways, you'll get more than that later, okay? I'll give that little thing just about. Isn't she cute? Whew. All right. The gift of salvation is exactly that. And you're not saved because of your goodness or your morality or you didn't marry. There's nothing in us that would make God save us. We're sinners, short of the glory of God. Oh, but I'm better than so-and-so. Guess what? We're just all good enough to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. There's nothing good in me. The only thing good about Cal Hampton is Jesus. And so when you receive Him, have mercy. He clothes you in His righteousness. And God looks at you now, if you're in Christ, as if you're in your glorified state. As if you're saved to sin no more. Today is the day of salvation. I'm so grateful. I could go through the Teets family sits right over here. The Smothers family sitting right back here. I've already told you about Sherry over here. But I could go all across the room and tell you that God has been seeking people in and around and through this church. And He has saved folks here in the last 3 months. And you know what? That's what matters most. Because what it all boils down to is you're serving one of two people, either your Heavenly Father or the devil. You're going to either heaven or hell. You see, it's what you do with Jesus that counts. Whew. Why? How can we miss this? Jesus came to seek sinners and He came to save sinners, of which sometimes... And then finally, Jesus came to satisfy sinners. Now, look at verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He's gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. Now, you know, not everybody gets happy when somebody's saved. I wished I had time to tell you about every complaint I've heard in the ministry about all these new people that are coming into the church. I was telling Billy or somebody before church, I was preaching revival last year down at First Baptist Brewston, and at the conclusion of the service, This young boy, he looked to be about 19 or 20, he came forward. And he had all kinds of questions. And the boy wound up praying to receive Christ. I mean, he looked tough now. He had 14 rings right here. He had 7 over here. He had a piercing right in this nostril. He had a piercing in his lip. His tongue was pierced. He was tatted from head to toe. And he looked like he'd fallen in a tackle box. I won't tell you, Jesus paid the price for him too. Yeah, yeah. And when he got saved, all the angels in glory began to sing and shout. And some stinking church member walked up to me after the service and said, "Preacher, do you see that boy right there? Let me just tell you." I said, "Shut up, I don't want to hear it." I didn't say shut up, but that's what I meant. I am tired of people saying negative things about people that come to Christ. Somebody give God a hand of praise. That's what folks need is Jesus. We didn't look real good when we first got saved either. Well, while I'm on it, look at Luke 16. Just turn left. Oh, goodness. That is not the right scripture. He'll give it to me here in a minute. Scripture I'm looking for says this. Morality, our goodness, our wealth, our riches, our way to heaven is an abomination to the Lord. There's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. And when you get Him, you're satisfied. Whew, listen to this. This is so good. How much time? Look at this. Back in Luke 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham." Oh my goodness, what a great piece of information right there. And let me just read another little verse of Scripture to you. Galatians 3:7 says, "Therefore, know only that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." How do we know Zacchaeus was saved? Because he gladly received the Lord. And immediately, there was a change that took place in his life and in his heart. He became generous. He wanted to make things right that he'd done wrong. And Mosaic law said that if you stole something that wasn't yours, if you steal something, you've taken something that's not yours, right? And that if you got caught with those goods, you had to restore twofold. And if you got caught with something that wasn't yours and it couldn't be restored, you had to pay fourfold. And so immediately, he starts talking about making things right with everybody he'd done wrong. And he said, "I'll give half of all I've got to the poor, and I'll restore everything I took that I shouldn't have took that wasn't mine. I'll restore that fourfold." Was he saved because he wanted to do good works? No, he did good works because he'd been saved. He had a change of the heart. He was satisfied with Jesus, therefore he wanted Jesus to be satisfied with him. And when you come to Christ, it's not getting a fresh coat to do better. Hello? It's not a fresh coat to do better. It's not even getting a fresh start. It's getting a brand spanking new life. Anybody know what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? If any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, when you get born again, you get a new heart. You get a new life. You get a new mindset. You get a new way of seeing things. You get a new worldview. Old desires are gone. New desires have come. And if your life hadn't been radically changed, I know a lot of us, including me, grew up in a Christian home. And it's almost the normal, natural thing to be saved. But friend, if there's been no spiritual growth in your life, and you're not different today than when you claim to have met Him, if you're not different spiritually, God's in the life-changing business, folks. You need a good dose of Jesus if He hadn't changed your life. And our Baptist rolls are full of lost people. How do you know? Because the Bible says you can know folks by the fruit that they're bearing. And the lack of fruit bearing points to the fact, somebody asked me one time, "Do you think people of other denominations are going to heaven?" And I said, "What?" I said, "I'm so radical, I think a lot of Baptists are going to hell." It's not about whether or not you're Baptist or Methodist or Church of God or Pentecostal or this or that. The thing is, do you belong to Jesus? Is He yours and are you His? That's the key. And if it is, you're different. You're different. You're different. And you're supposed to be different. Now, I'm not talking about being weird and spiritually nerdy, okay? But I'm talking about just being different from the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Hell, I could go on all day with this. I need to wrap it up. I don't know if y'all remember this or not. There were two state troopers and one bald-headed deacon. All three of them were from Wayne County, and they sat right here where Susan was sitting a few weeks ago. Do y'all remember them? Well, the two state troopers were on either side of Jay, and they needed to be. Jay Clanton, who was one of our deacons down in Waynesboro, used to be the worst drug addict, alcoholic in a seven county area in southern Tennessee and northern Alabama. Every cop knew him. Every jail knew him. He showed me one time one of his old trucks, and it had 27 bullet holes in one side of the truck. I said, "Where did those come from?" He said, "A cop was shooting at me." I said, "Was he trying to kill you?" He said, "He must have. Must have been a real bad shot, though." Everybody knew him. But one day, the Holy Spirit began to draw Jay. I can't think about it without getting emotional. And he called a pastor, the only pastor who would have anything to do with him. And he's sitting out in his garage and surrounded by stinking bags of trash and garbage. And the preacher shows up. And Jay said, "I'm ready." And right then, that moment, God received the worst drug addict, one of the biggest drinkers, drunk every time you saw him. God received Jay Clanton that afternoon. And by the grace of Almighty God, he's still a deacon at my last church, and he's preaching somewhere. He's a supply preacher. I believe God's called him into the ministry. And he's preaching this morning about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now maybe that's not your testimony. And let me tell you, the greatest testimony is of a little small boy or small girl that's been walking with Jesus all their life. Don't have to go through all that junk, you see. But I've said all that to say this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, the Holy Spirit all across this room, your heart's beating a little quicker. You know there's something not right in your heart. And God, that's the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That's the Spirit of God. I didn't come here to make you doubt your salvation, but people around you ought to know whether you're saved or not. And the Spirit of God is saying, "Come to me right now." And my Bible tells me, if you would be willing to turn from your sin and receive what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago by surrendering your heart and life to Him, by calling on His name, the Bible says today you'll be like Zacchaeus was on his day. And God will turn your life around. Father, I don't even begin to know what you want to do with this message, but I know that I know that I know there are people here that need Christ. We've got a church membership. We've got a baptismal certificate. We've got a tithe and contribution statement, but we don't have Jesus. Oh God, would you save folks right here today for the first and last time that they need to do that? Right where you sit, if you would pray, just ask God, just agree with God about your sin. Just tell Him who you are. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe what He did for you. And just by faith, trust the finished work of Christ and ask Him to come into your heart. Receive that gift. Take it. Surrender to Him this morning. Call on Him to save you. If you'll do that right now where you sit, God will save you. He's seeking you. He wants to save you. And old friend, He wants to satisfy you right now. And there are others of you that are here, and you need soul winning power. Well, the same resurrection power that got Jesus up out of the grave will give you the power and the boldness and the strength to go share with others. Maybe you just need to bring the name of a lost person to this altar, and that God would give you what you need to go share with them. Lord, you do what you need to do during this time. Oh God, move on these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.